This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Today, March 24th, is National Ag Day. And with a special message on this day, we join Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue.
Today, as we celebrate National Ag Day, you know that we do so in very uncertain times. And during these times, one thing has remained steadfast, and that's America's farmers, ranchers, and producers. For the past half century, National Ag Day has played a key role in helping the American public understand where their food and fiber comes from and how important agriculture is to our national economy. Our farmers, ranchers, foresters, producers in America are feeding and clothing the world. Now more than ever, it's important that the American people remember that for all the food on those grocery shelves, that some farmer grew it. Our farmers are resilient, and during these uncertain times, they're still working day in and day out to produce what's needed for our growing population. Food is essential all year round, but in the face of a pandemic, it's critical the shelves remain stocked and supplies remain plentiful. President Trump's whole of government approach is ensuring food and essentials are constantly available. America's farmers and ranchers and those on the front lines in the food service industry are doing their part, and we are forever grateful. Today on National Ag Day, I challenge you, the American public, to keep our farmers, ranchers, and producers on their minds for all their work to provide us a safe, healthy, and abundant food supply. We owe them a great debt of gratitude. Thank you all, and stay safe out there.
In other news from the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Ag's National Agricultural Statistics Service statistical reports remain on schedule amid the COVID-19 pandemic, including the March 26th hog and pig report and March 31st prospective planting report. NAS reports the agency also continues to collect data for all upcoming reports, asking farmers and ranchers to complete their surveys online if they don't already do so. To protect the health and safety of producers, partners, and employees, NAS has suspended in-person data collection at least until April 3rd. NAS Administrator Hubert Hamer says, quote, "We are making every effort to produce the U.S. crop, livestock, and economic statistics that the nation counts on, but to do that responsibly, we are following guidance to slow the spread of coronavirus. Ensuring that responses are turned in on time means little to no additional outreach is needed. USDA says online response is faster and more convenient for producers. To respond online at agcounts.usda.gov, producers will need their unique 17-digit survey code from the questionnaire or letter they received in the mail." In other national news here on your Tuesday, for the fourth straight week, the national average price of gasoline has fallen, plummeting 12.8 cents over the last week to $2.08 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. The average price of diesel, meanwhile, fell 6.5 cents to $2.66 a gallon. Gas prices have spent virtually all of March marching lower, with the drop continuing as the coronavirus destroys oil demand globally, according to Patrick DeHaan of Gas Buddy. DeHaan says, quote, "There's plenty more room for prices to drop, putting 99 cents per gallon prices as a strong possibility for perhaps many more stations than we previously anticipated." Crude oil prices have continued to be under heavy selling pressure due to the coronavirus's effect on global demand for products, including gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Additionally, a meeting March 5th by OPEC and Russia on how to stem the previous decline in oil resulted not in a product cut, but a feud between the two, with Saudi Arabia and Russia both saying they were going to raise oil production. And we'll continue with local ag news here on your Tuesday afternoon following this.
Want to own your future? Wayne Schaefer at Country Financial can help you find the right plan to get started, the kind of plan that will take into account all the things in your life that matter most. Contact Wayne Schaefer at Country Financial today at 498-5800. 498-5800.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects, while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today.
Steak on the grill, a crisp salad, and baked potatoes served with Prairie Farms sour cream. Plan your next cookout around farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Sour cream for the baked potatoes, butter for vegetables and rolls, or a dip everyone will enjoy, Prairie Farms French onion dip. Perfect with chips or crunchy, fresh vegetables. And to quench that warm weather thirst, grab a single serve of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer owned.
Shop.areadieselservice.com is the easiest way to find the parts you need for your diesel. Since 1973, Area Diesel Service Incorporated has been committed to providing quality parts and services for turbochargers, diesel fuel injection systems, and diesel engines. Located in Carlinville at 1300 North University, they are always just a phone call away at 854-2641 and always online at shop.areadieselservice.com.
And we're back here on your Tuesday Afternoon Ag Show. The Department of Homeland Security affirmed just how important agriculture is to the United States, especially during a pandemic like the coronavirus outbreak. DHS says public health, law enforcement, food and agriculture, defense, and 12 other industries are critical and should keep their usual work schedules to help respond to the outbreak. The guidance from DHS is designed to help limit potential confusion as some state and local governments implement various curfews or bans on large gatherings to slow the spread of coronavirus. To help explain what critical infrastructure means for us here in central Illinois, I recently spoke with Heather Hampton Nodal. Heather, with the critical infrastructure workforce being implemented first by the president back on Monday the 16th, he issued with that with the Department of Homeland Security, kind of outlined what was critical and what was not so critical during this time of the coronavirus. Of course, one of those big things is agriculture, and with your expertise and many hats that you wear, you've been a part of some of these meetings in the past to plan for incidents like this. So maybe if you'd share with us what one of those meetings were and how now that we're in this unfortunate time that it's needed to be implemented, what that kind of covers.
Well, I think on a local level, one that is directly applicable to where we find ourselves in Montgomery County and in central Illinois is the critical infrastructure and key resources planning process. This is an exercise that, and it's more than an exercise, it is a plan that is developed through the work of emergency management professionals and volunteers in the area. And with Montgomery County, I had the opportunity to be part of that representing agriculture within the last 3 or 4 years or so. And that's a process where, just like the name implies, critical infrastructure and key resources are identified. So, for example, the power plant at the point when it was operable, but definitely the transmission lines going through the county, any natural gas pipelines, and we look at agricultural facilities. So with that fertilizer and chemical containment and transportation, grain handling, food processing, every aspect of that food supply chain. Well, it's actually food, fiber, and fuel when you think about ethanol and biodiesel as well. So we looked at not only the county, but regional relationships within the state and also intrastate relationship in that planning process of across industry sectors as well. So how would agriculture intersect with health, for example? Agriculture and energy are tightly intertwined as energy is with everything, emergency services and rescue and so on. So I guess it's a comfort to know that so many talented and informed people, I'm not including myself in that set. I'm saying there were a lot of other people who knew a lot more who were at that table. And I was glad to be part of it to try to say, hey, you know, we need to be talking to X, Y, and Z. But that kind of process has already been in place to help prepare for just this sort of situation.
And that's kind of a testament to how the emergency management agencies of Montgomery, Christian, and the local counties have already kind of worked these, I guess you could say, almost apocalyptic type events where we hope it never happens, but this is the plan in case it does happen.
It is. We're really fortunate to have people like Joe Gasparich in our county, and Glenn Savage when he was chairman of the emergency committee at the county level, I mean, and others, so many other employees. The sheriff's office constantly running both desktop exercises and other practice drills, the health department. But we really have some really good, competent people, and that really gives me confidence in exactly this kind of a situation.
And then, as we were saying, as it relates back to agriculture, this incident with the coronavirus kind of hits at a unique time because everyone in the ag sector, we're getting ready to gear up for hopefully a successful planting season. And then you throw this in there, that could kind of slow it down. But I guess for the first time in about 15 months, some of us might be kind of thankful it is raining. That's kind of delaying the process a little bit. And hopefully the rain stops as soon as this coronavirus outbreak stops and we can hit the field.
Yes, I think sunshine would help everybody, right? I think from a health standpoint and being able to get things done. But initially a lot of farmers were concerned that grain terminals, for example, might close just based on their corporate approach to employee safety, and which you respect that and you understand that, but also hoping they will take and have taken precautions so that this larger supply chain that is global can continue to operate so people have the food that they want when they need it. And, on a federal level, I was just thinking too, Gabe, that it was several years ago, actually, during the Obama administration, I think round two, and I forget exactly which committee I was serving on, but that was my first glance at the Defense Preparedness Executive Order, which is essentially what President Trump had activated last week. And at the time, when I first read that, I was deeply concerned and, frankly, can still be concerned because of the broad language in that order that could allow the executive branch of our government to take over essentially means of production. So, I mean, the actual wording in that, you could interpret it as they could direct a factory that is in the business of combine production, for example, to say, well, you should completely cease that type of operation and retool to do X. Or we think this factory should be closed down or this one should be open and so on, which I don't see that being exercised. I think it's more of a collaborative approach, saying at this point, definitely, more of a companies, how can you step up and maybe do this? Like, we're reading about different plants being retooled by the company's decision or to remain open, not to move to Mexico. I read that on one of the HealthFly-related companies. So I think it's interesting just to be aware of, hopefully this is an opportunity for people to learn more about government, really, and what kind of powers exist in what situations, and then think, if you were put in that position, how would you judiciously apply that and wisely use that, where I think right now we've struck, it appears to be a pretty good balance of seeking companies to voluntarily please come to the table and how can you apply your resources to this situation versus a more command and control type approach.
Again, that was Heather Hampton Nodal. And that'll conclude this afternoon's edition of the Ag Show. So for this Tuesday, March 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.